This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning, the week of Thanksgiving, and the Giants get another win against a really bad football team. They tried their best to blow it when Jameis Winston came into the game, but they did indeed hold on. Another good performance by the offense, and the old Al Beckham Jr. dream continues of running the table. It won't happen. They're still not very good. They've got the Eagles and Bears coming up next, even though the Eagles looked terrible yesterday. It won't happen, but for this morning, the dream is still alive. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man, and so are the Giants. You know, that was the offense that I thought we were going to see at the beginning of the year, and I figured, okay, it would take a little while to happen, but, you know, we said a couple weeks ago that you're playing San Francisco and Tampa. You should be able to move the ball up and down the field, and they did exactly what we expect them to do, at least offensively. I mean, defensively, they get four turnovers, and they still have to hang on at the end, which was amazing. The Giants play the weirdest games, man. I mean, they are like, right. Statistically, it's like nuts. They're all over the place. You get all these four great turnovers. You know, you're throwing touchdown passes, and Saquon Barkley's going off, and you got to hang on to the end because of, Jameis Winston. And finally, you know, I would think that Todd Bowles was watching yesterday's game and saw Dirk Koetter do what Todd Bowles should have done when the Jets were playing Kansas City and Fitzmagic turned into Fitztragic
and ended up throwing
six interceptions in that game.
Right.
Yank him out of the game. I mean, the indiscriminate throws that he was making.
He just doesn't care.
It's like he does not care a lick.
Like, that's his best quality and his worst quality. Is that there's no situation that intimidates him, so he'll go out there and just throw the ball down the field and not care. But then also, it's his worst quality because he throws a million interceptions. And it's amazing. With that team, one of those guys cannot hang on to the job. So you've got Fitzpatrick who's doing great, then blows himself up. Then Jameis comes in, relieves him, and is good for a little bit, but then blows himself up. And it's just back and forth.
They scored four touchdowns in four straight possessions.
I know.
By the way, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, we do have new lighting in the studio today.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how I look. Al, how do I look?
On television, you look terrific.
That's Allie's handiwork.
In the room, you look like you're going for a colonoscopy.
Yeah, it's very medical, these lights. Medical.
It's definitely a different feel to it. Is it a warmer feel? Do we have like a warmer feel now? We're in the fall now and everything?
It's sharper, I would say, a little bit on TV. But for our eyes, it looks like you're in a post-apocalypse command bunker.
But it looks good on TV.
It looks good on TV.
I don't really care what you guys think, how we look in person. All I care about is how we look in high definition.
This must be the new trend.
Right.
So your NFL Today set is lit like this?
No, it's not. Our NFL Today said we have a lighting director that is insane about the perfection of the lighting. And, every now and then he comes out of his cave and he starts screaming at people because the lighting's not right.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
No, yeah, he's great. He's all fired up. Plus, he spent 7 hours on the West Side Highway on Thursday.
Oh.
So he was really just all peachy this Sunday.
See, I can't stop looking.
You don't want to mess with him.
I can't stop looking directly into these lights. That's been my problem.
The beauty is that you can actually look into the lights because most of the time on TV, you can't look into the lights.
Right. But
right?
These, I guess you kind of can, but it still doesn't seem like a healthy thing to do.
So we beta testing this or something?
No, this is it.
This is what they spent
all weekend working on this stuff.
It looks expensive. I don't know if it is, but it looks expensive. All the little LED TV things that are
us, you guys look dim and bright at the same
time.
Well,
I wanted it to be a little dimmer because the studio here
this
is
was
much
your
brighter.
Request?
Well, they felt like we were really lit up like Christmas trees.
Okay.
And I was like, maybe a little toned down just a hair.
Wow.
And they've done that, which is good.
You are involved, man. I got to give you credit.
Well, I try to be involved. I'm trying to help you out from top to bottom.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff with the radio show. I got to make sure you're involved. But the lighting for the TV
show? Everything, yes.
That's nuts. Good for you. You have conversations, conference calls?
We always have conversations. I'm always over there at the CBS Sports Center or CBS Broadcast Center. You know that. So
I run into
a lot of these people, you know, all over the place, and we always talk about different things.
Right.
So I think they did a great job. I actually do. And I'm glad that you guys think that we look good on TV. So that's very important to us who are somewhat vain.
Right. Of course. Yeah. I'm way more vain than I ever was.
Yeah. You dropped 30 pounds, Biggs.
Yeah. 33.8.
I can't even call you Biggs anymore.
Well, I'm getting there, you know. I still have another 20 pounds to go.
Good for you.
You could still call me that. You could still call me. If I get to like 205,
yes,
then you could stop making fun of me completely.
All right. Well, good. So anyway, here's good news for Jet fans yesterday who didn't even play. They moved up in the draft order.
Yeah.
They actually leapfrogged the New York Giants. Giants now have the fifth overall pick in the NFL draft. The Jets have the fourth pick. San Francisco has moved into number one. Arizona number two by virtue of their loss, late loss yesterday. By the way, the two late games on CBS were incredible. The Oakland Raiders kicked the field goal to win that game in a meaningless game, but it wasn't really meaningless because now the Arizona Cardinals have the number two overall pick in the draft. And then, of course, you had San Diego and Denver, where I thought, okay, they hit Antonio Gates. I'm going to go to my my dressing room at CBS, which is about a mile from the studio. And when I got to the dressing room, I turned on the TV, and there it was. Denver was lining up for the kick, the field goal.
Right, Brandon McManus. It was unbelievable. I was shocked that the Chargers allowed that to happen at the end of that game. But this is a problem with them. They've got no home field advantage. None whatsoever.
They play better on the road than they do at home.
So in a situation like that where the defense, all right, finish them off, you've got this one last stand, you would think at home you'd have some sort of an advantage. But that place has got no fans, and the only fans that are there are Bronco fans that decided to travel to the game. And I really do think that has an effect on close late division games.
Well,
like
I don't, Phillip Rivers threw a really bad interception to Von Miller on a screen pass, and all of a sudden that whole game changed. The whole feeling of that game changed in the second half. So they laid an egg. Look, at the end of the day, they're going to be a wild card team anyway, so I don't know really how much this hurts them. They're probably going to visit, the fourth ranked team, the fourth division winner. And when you take a look at the wild card standings right now, there's still two games in front of Baltimore. There's a mess of teams: Baltimore, Cincinnati, Miami, Indianapolis, and Tennessee, all at 5-5 right now. And Indianapolis is rolling.
Yeah,
five straight games now where Andrew Luck has not been sacked. Seven straight games where he has thrown at least three touchdown passes. And that defense was all over Marcus Mariota. You know, what's amazing to me is that so the Patriots beat Jacksonville in week two. Lose to Jacksonville in week two. And everybody thinks that Blake Bortles now is back, right? And here we go.
This
is going to be the team that's going to go to the AFC Super Bowl and everything, blah, blah, blah. Then last week, the Titans, Mike Vrabel, they kicked the living crap out of the Patriots, right? Mike Vrabel, he's, odds on for coach of the year and all this other stuff. And boy, his team's playing great.
After killing the Cowboys, too. That was back-to-back games.
And they're playing great. And all of a sudden, now they go walking into Indianapolis, which is turning out to be a hornet's nest for all the teams that go in there. And Andrew Luck tears them up. Indianapolis defense, which gets no credit whatsoever, led by Darius Leonard, who could quite possibly be the defensive rookie of the year in the NFL, is all over Marcus Mariota, and they hurt him again. And he can't make, he doesn't play. So Blaine Gabbert goes in, and all of a sudden Tennessee falls apart. So now you have all this mishmash of teams that are sitting there at 5-5, and they'll be the sixth seed in the playoffs, and they'll probably have to go visit the New England Patriots.
Yeah, and speaking of mishmash of teams, the NFC East right now, every single week there's another team that's favored to win it, and now it's got to be the Dallas Cowboys with what happened, unfortunately, to Alex Smith, which is one of the eeriest things that you'll ever see. 33 years, to the day?
To the day, yes.
To the day that Joe Theismann got his leg broken, of course, against the Giants. And you have 33 years to the day with the same final score of the game and Joe Theismann in the building to witness it. Just a horrible deal there. If you don't, there's no reason to watch it if you haven't seen it already with Alex Smith and the broken leg. Now, Colt McCoy comes in. Colt McCoy's going to start. So you would believe, unless Colt McCoy takes them on some sort of crazy run, that the Cowboys are going to be favored after what they did going into Atlanta yesterday in a really, really impressive victory for them. And the Eagles look cooked after a couple of weeks now of really bad football.
And who did the Giants play this week?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
That's right. Right. So maybe there's some credence to what Odell Beckham Jr. is preaching here these last few weeks.
But then you got the Bears after that, which is going to be more complicated, and they whipped the Vikings last night. That 25-20 score, it should have been about 250-0, it felt like, watching that game. But so the Giants, if they had found a way, like let's say they didn't with against the Carolina Panthers give up that 70-yard field goal to win the game.
That Graham Gano, that kicker who beat them about 5 weeks ago, he essentially had an awful game yesterday. And it forced Ron Rivera, he just felt like he had to go for two to try to win the game. And because Graham Gano missed the field goal on a cheap, chip shot.
Right, and then wide open receiver for Cam Newton, he whizzes the ball right past him. But if they had found a way to win that game, they'd be sitting at 4-6. It'd be a game behind the Cowboys. Think about that.
It's the NFL, dude.
It's crazy.
It's a long season. There's a lot of twists and turns. And now all of a sudden, injuries start taking hold, and you start losing key people, and teams start losing their quarterback. All of a sudden, the thing changes. The whole thing is upside down. Here we go in the final six games of the season.
Yeah, and all these conversations that we have about who's going to sneak into the playoffs and who's going to get there as a sixth seed, the fifth seed, whatever, win this division. In the NFC, it's not going to matter because it's going to be the Rams or the Saints, and it's probably going to be the Saints. The way they are playing football right now is downright scary. And if you watch that, Sean Payton wants to kill you. He wants to embarrass you. He wants to make it look like they're that much better than everybody else. And he accomplishes it every week. How about fourth down? They're up a million points yesterday.
What do you want him to do there? You want him to punt? You want him to punt there?
Yeah,
what do you do?
I'm not saying that I didn't like it. I'm just saying he did it, where I think a lot of coaches probably would have punted in that spot. And they go right down the field. Alvin Kamara, one-on-one, touchdown. It was just crazy what they were doing.
How about these numbers? 22 of 30, 363 yards and four touchdowns.
Drew Brees?
That's Drew Brees. They also ran for 173 yards. Are you kidding me? This is against the former world champion Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Eagles' defense was not great last year in the Super Bowl, but it was just incredible. The amount of yards and the amount of first downs. The Saints had 28 first downs and 546 total yards of offense.
Yeah, defense was great too. So you think about the beginning of the year when the Saints' defense is the same exact track as last year. Last year, their defense was terrible beginning of the year. This year, their defense was terrible beginning of the year, and then they round into shape, keep getting better and better. Then fresh off a 55-point game against the Bengals, this is what you get, a 48-point game at home against the Eagles.
And they almost averaged 8 yards per play.
And they play the Falcons on Thanksgiving.
Nobody can cover Michael Thomas. Nobody can stop Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram.
But think about
Drew Brees is just playing at another level at his advanced age.
But take a look at it. Forget about Michael Thomas for a second. How about this Kirkwood that comes out of nowhere? How about Tre'Quan Smith yesterday as a rookie goes over 150 yards receiving?
But what happens?
It's unbelievable.
Is they're playing with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right.
They're not playing. And I don't want to always pick on him, but it just seems like the way to kind of juxtapose the difference of playing at one position. They're not playing with Blake Bortles. You know what I'm saying? They're playing with Drew Brees. What the Jacksonville Jaguars did yesterday basically reminded me of what they did in the AFC Championship game at the end of the first half. They have no confidence in their quarterback. None whatsoever. In order to win a game, you got to throw it. You got to get some key first downs on third down, especially in the fourth quarter. And they kept running on third down, man. And it was just like, here, Ben, just take the ball. And, the momentum now has shifted. Take that tidal wave and take us right into the end zone, because that's exactly what happened in that game. And it just goes to show you that the coach has no belief in the quarterback. Therefore, the team has no belief in the quarterback.
Yeah, it worked for about 3.5 quarters. And then finally the wheels came off because they couldn't make a play.
But that's the opposite in New Orleans. That guy, Drew Brees, just brings out the best in everybody. That's the most important aspect, I believe, of the quarterback position in the NFL. Do you make the players better that you play with? And can they just stick somebody in there and you get the best out of those players? Well, I would tell you that, you know, Brady and Breeze and Rivers and Roethlisberger, they all do that. They all get the most out of their young players. And when you watch Drew Brees and his actions on the field, when a guy like,
Traquan Smith.
Traquan Smith goes off, you could see just like how happy he is for that young man to experience what he's experienced in the biggest game of his life.
Right. So, I mean,
it's awesome. I just
don't know how you stop them. I don't know how you do it. Whether it's Kamara or it's Ingram or down the field, it's Michael Thomas. Over here, it's Traquan Smith, or it's this Kirkwood guy, or here's some tight end, or it's Taysom Hill who now comes into the game and is running an option. I just don't know. I don't know how you stop in that building. I don't know how you stop him.
Sean Payton's crazy, though.
Oh, yeah, of course he is. Nuts. Right. Yeah, he's completely nuts. You know what's funny is we sat down. You probably talked to him a ton. But the first time I had a chance to interview him was his past Super Bowl when we were there. And I was expecting a madman. And he sat down. He was very – the conversation was normal. And I'm thinking, you know, this guy behind the scenes is probably completely nuts. But on the surface, he seems to keep it together. But he's got the best team in football right now. And you get the other two best teams in football tonight – Monday Night Football with the Rams and Chiefs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.